Our first reading is from the 38th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was saying to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, he who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life as a prize of war and live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon and be taken." Then the officials said to the king, "Let this man be put to death, for he is weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in this city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm." King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. When Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern, the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate, Ebed-Melech went from the king's house and said to the king, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they did to Jeremiah the prophet by casting him into the cistern, and he will die there of hunger, for there is no bread left in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, "Take 30 men with you from here, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king, to a wardrobe in the storehouse, and took from there old rags and worn-out clothes, which he let down to Jeremiah in the cistern by ropes. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Put the rags and clothes between your armpits and the ropes." Jeremiah did so. Then they drew Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet and received him at the third entrance of the temple of the Lord. The king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you a question. Hide nothing from me." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I tell you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me." Then King Zedekiah swore secretly to Jeremiah, "As the Lord lives, who made our souls, I will not put you to death or deliver you into the hand of these men who seek your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life shall be spared, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Judeans, who have deserted to the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them and they deal cruelly with me." Jeremiah said, "You shall not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life shall be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the vision which the Lord has shown to me. Behold, all the women left in the house of the king of Judah were being led out to the officials of the king of Babylon and were saying, 'Your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn away from you. All your wives and your sons shall be led out to the Chaldeans, and you yourself shall not escape from their hand, but shall be seized by the king of Babylon, and this city shall be burned with fire.'" Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. If the officials hear that I have spoken with you and come to you and say to you, 'Tell us what you said to the king and what the king said to you,' hide nothing from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I made a humble plea to the king that he would not send me back to the house of Jonathan to die there. Then all the officials came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he answered them as the king had instructed him. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been overheard. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard until the day that Jerusalem was taken. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the 27th chapter of Matthew. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the word of the Lord. We continue our recitation of the Lord's Prayer. What is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? Attempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature deceive us, mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you, from God our Father and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about the petition of not leading us into temptation, there's a list of items that are there, and Luther wrote and said that we pray that God would keep us from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, that they would not deceive us or mislead us, especially, and the list starts with, false belief. That's not something we normally think of when we think about being led into temptation. We often will probably think of other things first, but the very first item that Luther wrote in this list was that we would not be tempted to fall into false belief. And if you think about it, that's kind of the start of everything. Because if you start to believe the scriptures falsely or false teachers, then everything else falls apart. So that false belief is of the most importance for all of us. And we see that in our Old Testament reading for today. We have a prophecy about the Babylonians coming to invade Jerusalem. Some of the priests and officials in the city, they want to deny that anything bad is going to happen. And yet they have Jeremiah here speaking the truth. And they don't like the truth. So these officials go to the king, and this is what they said. Let this man, Jeremiah, be put to death, for he's weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in the city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. So these officials would rather have Jeremiah change God's word, be a false prophet, basically, and not speak God's word rightly. That's what they wanted, to basically put their heads in the sand. And Jeremiah refused. And to the point where they lowered him into a dried well that was filled with mud. And he was just basically standing in it until he was rescued. False belief is one of the greatest temptations we can fall into. Paul talked about this with Timothy, that people will gather those who will give their itching ears what they want to hear. False teachers. But the greatest false teachers are the ones themselves who went up against Christ. And they even maligned Jesus' own words, tried to change what Jesus was saying, saying it wasn't true. We saw this in Matthew today. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And then that last fraud will be worse than the first." So Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. These Pharisees and these chief priests, they had fallen into that temptation. They had fallen to false belief. So false and so twisted that they even called Jesus an imposter. And they said that his resurrection would be a fraud, worse than the first one that he did. That's what false belief does. It eventually strips away everything from the scriptures to the point to where even Jesus himself is stripped away from everything that he's done for us. His most prized and precious actions, especially of actually dying on the cross for our sins and rising from the dead so that we would also have that promise of everlasting life. False belief will always want to steal those promises away from you. You can find it nowadays in so many different denominations that try to hack away at those two great teachings in the scriptures. But Jesus will have nothing to do with that. Jesus will always make sure that his church, somewhere in this world, is proclaiming the gospel rightly, so that all of us may continue to believe rightly that he really did die for every single one of our sins so that we won't die for them. And he really did rise from the dead. He was no imposter. He rose physically. So we also would have that promise, that hope, that guarantee that we will also rise from the dead. This is the truth of God. And I pray this is a truth we always continue to teach, we preach, and all of us believe with our whole heart. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.